KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business. Squid Game creator Hwang Dong-hyuk had made 4 feature films, but had never written a TV series before he set the dark survival drama up at Netflix. He ended up creating the number one show in 90 countries and the most watched Netflix program of all time. Now he's on the hook to do it again.
Never thought like I was going to make season 2. Maybe like a 1 or 2% of chance. This big success made me, forced me to do season 2 right now.
Hwang explains how a script that sat on a shelf for almost a decade found a home at Netflix, and he talks about definitely getting paid for season 2. But first we banter. Stick around, it's The Business from KCRW. I am joined by my colleague in banter, Matt Bellany. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
We are able to talk about a movie. Normally, we talk about movies in the old schedule when the podcast was on Fridays and the show aired on Mondays. We kind of had to fudge around how a movie did because we knew many people would know how the movie did by the time they heard the show. But now we're on this new time and people don't know, and we can just prognosticate away. And we're going to do that with Top Gun Maverick, which is a movie that has been sitting for 2 years. This movie was done and dusted. It was ready to go. And even the parties were planned and this crazy global tour that Cruise has been on, you know, going to Cannes and the Queen's Jubilee and one thing and another. All of this was planned and ready to go. And now Paramount, having fired the regime, Jim Giannopoulos and the people who actually did that planning and greenlighted this version of the movie, they are going to dine out on whatever it does. Tom Cruise has never had a $100 million opening before, which is kind of amazing considering his decades of stardoms and huge hits. It certainly looks like this could be it. He's been close, but this looks like it will break through that sound barrier or whatever you want to call it, trying to make a Top Gun reference.
Right. He'll buzz the tower of $100 million. No, so let's look at his past movies. His highest grosser adjusted for inflation, the biggest opening was Mission Impossible 2, which was $97 million. Then it goes
down
from there.
So close.
So close. War of the Worlds, Mission Impossible, Interview with a Vampire, Mission Impossible Fallout. But those are three-day opening weekends. He's got 4 days with the holiday weekend here. And I think actually, even with the three-day, he'll probably break that record. And Paramount's lowballing and saying it'll get to 90. That seems ludicrously low to me. Although, you know, there are weaknesses here. I mean, this is a big, big deal for a moviegoer of a certain age, shall we say. And if you are under 40 and especially under 30, this franchise means a lot less to you. And Tom Cruise and movie stars in general mean a lot less to you. And this is not Marvel. If you talk to people that are in their 20s and, you know, show up every weekend for Marvel movies, they're not necessarily as excited for Tom Cruise in Top Gun as you and I are. So we'll see how this does. It's going to be big, but it's not going to be on the level of Spider-Man, Marvel, that big.
Yeah, although there is a family thing. This is a PG-13. Maybe the 40-year-old dads will take their kids. We'll see.
Yeah, and these days you really have to think about not just the competition in theaters, but what the competition is in streaming. And this is a gigantic weekend for streaming between Stranger Things coming back and the Obi-Wan Kenobi show on Disney Plus, which I think will be probably the biggest Disney Plus show in that service's history. So they've got a lot of competition there.
Yeah, those are two big streaming. These are the plus-sized Stranger Things. They're long, and we'll see. After all, you know, it's been around. That one's been around for a while too. So I would expect it still to be very popular. But maybe some people don't want to go back to the world of the Upside Down. I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's going to be gigantic.
I'm going to give you a chance to do something I know you want to do, which is talk about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. I need to say, I truly have not been paying that much attention, and I am not invested in the outcome. And there are things I don't understand. I mean, I thought this was about his claim that she had written some column implying that he was bad and that hurt his career. That seems a fairly simple question, especially since his very longtime agent, Tracy Jacobs, at the United Talent Agency, who he ultimately fired, but who had been with him since 21 Jump Street, got on the stand and testified that his career was plenty screwed up, having nothing to do with Amber Heard. I thought it was remarkable, Matt, even though I'm, again, not interested in their very, very tawdry, sad disputes with each other, to see an agent in that position sit on a stand, and she was subpoenaed. I mean, she wasn't volunteering. It's not who she is, but she was subpoenaed, and she just basically took a hatchet to the claim that Amber Heard damaged Johnny Depp's career.
Yeah, it was really interesting, especially if you know Tracy and you know how much she devoted her life to Johnny Depp for 30 years and really rode this wave of him where he was the television star, then he was a character actor, and then he got in the Pirates franchise, and then he became, for a time there, the biggest movie star in the world. And what she said was essentially what people in the industry kind of knew, which was that he had been spiraling for many years and he had gotten into a dispute with his business managers over his spending. His substance abuse had gotten worse. He, you know, all of the noise around Johnny Depp that had kind of made people hesitant to work with him, that all was going on even before the Amber Heard stuff. And that is a very powerful message to say to a jury when the entire claim is that what she said in the Washington Post damaged him in a way that cost him $50 million. And that is ultimately, with all of the noise around this case, that is ultimately the legal issue here. And the jury has to find causation here that this statement led to that result. And I think that testimony is pretty powerful.
As do I. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, founding partner of Puck News. Deep into the COVID pandemic, a fictional contest set in Korea captured the attention of people around the world. In Netflix's Squid Game, 456 deeply indebted contestants in green jumpsuits compete in lethal children's games, hoping to win a life-changing pile of cash. Squid Game came from the imagination of South Korean director Hwang Dong-hyuk. According to Netflix, people watched a staggering 1.65 billion hours of the show in the first 4 weeks after it dropped. This is director Hwang's first foray into television. Having studied film at USC, he returned to Korea to make feature films, releasing four since 2007. Hwang was inspired to write Squid Game when his own family experienced the economic turmoil of the Great Recession in 2008. But at the time, he couldn't land financing for a story that was deemed too disturbing and surreal. Almost a decade later, Hwang dusted off the idea and brought it to Netflix, which had just launched in Korea 2 years before. And the rest is history. It's funny to me that you went out at a time where the recession was hitting and there was so much panic and anxiety in the world, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it wasn't right then. And then it comes out during COVID and a time of total panic and anxiety in the world, and somehow everybody's ready for it. Maybe, and I don't know if it's because the world has become more global or why that it, not then, but now.
I don't know. I never thought that way. Yeah, that's very true. Like the back then, it was right after like a Lehman Brothers, like things like that in the state.
Right. Lehman Brothers went down and it was panic. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But like you said, it became more global, the whole like industry and the entertainment industry because of the platform like Netflix. I mean, if there was no Netflix back in 2018, mm-hmm. time like I brought it back, I wouldn't, you know, have thought like I'm going to make this movie again, this series again, because for a feature film, I don't think it still be a, such a good, you know, the material to make.
It needs more time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this idea was the perfect fit for the platform, global platform like Netflix. Also, it was better idea for the series rather than the two-hour movie.
Right.
Yeah. So like when I read it again, revisited the script back in 2018 and read it again and automatically thought like, oh, there's Netflix in Korea. So this one should be a best fit for the Netflix, the original series rather than the theater movie. And Netflix loved it. I mean, I asked someone who worked in Netflix Korea back then and I have this kind of idea for like the TV series and they loved it. So I think it's about Netflix, you know, not about like the recession or COVID. COVID, you know, actually helped this series, you know,
right.
be successful.
Everybody was home, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody was needed to be distracted and was there sitting the, home.
But the main factor of this success is, I believe, is the global platform.
Mm-hmm. The global platform now. I read that it's important to you, that for you, you want your investors to make money. That's an ethic that you have mm-hmm. when you bring mm-hmm. to your work. On the other hand, you made this for a really, what it would be if you look at something like this, on the other end, The Crown. I mean, you made this for, it's a bargain, a huge bargain for them.
Yeah, I mean, to be compared to the U.S. industry or like entertainment market, the size is much smaller. It's like it seems like a bargain. But in Korea, like when I made this one in 2 or 3 years ago, the budget was not that cheap in Korea.
It was like a couple million dollars, I read, US
dollars. A couple million
dollars
per episode.
And The Crown is like 20.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, Korean industry, the market is much smaller than the English show market. So I had no, like, you know, complain about the budget. I mean,
right. Who knew, right?
Who knew? But my goal was high, you know. I wanted to make the global TV show. Like my goal was like hitting the number one in the US Netflix in the rank. But, you know, I never expected this kind of big success. So who knew?
Nobody knew. Yeah. I mean, I would say $20 million roughly for the whole thing is a terrific deal. Let's talk about making this thing, because once you get the green light to go ahead with it, I would imagine it was immediately overwhelming. I read it was a very, very difficult shoot, and you were shooting during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, did you even panic immediately when they said yes? I don't know.
I mean, they said yes very early, like even with the idea, like with the old feature script, they said like, we'll invest. We'll, you know, give you a green light. But I made them wait. I had to, you know, convince myself. Oh, mm-hmm. Like actually, I'm able to make this happen because, you know, I didn't know. I never had written any TV show in my career. I was the only, you know, worked for the feature film. I was a writer and director of the feature film. Never had any experience in TV show. So I made them wait. I started writing and writing and writing. And whenever I finished like an episode, like from first episode, I showed it to the people in Netflix. And then when I finished my second script, the episode, then I showed, it was like, you know, one by one, they're like, they got hooked. Like after they read like four episodes or something, they were hooked. But still, I made them wait. And eventually I finished the whole 8 episode, you know, they're writing the whole 8 episode. Then I signed a contract. So was not surprised. I was not surprised they say yes, because I was the one who actually controlled the situation back then. Mm, but, yes. You know, the production was not easy. I mean, everybody knows, like, the shooting during the COVID, it was not easy. We had to, like, a 1 month shutdown, you know, because there was, like, only 300 like, cases of COVID in a day in Korea. They still, made us shut down for, like, a month. But overall, I mean, the shooting, the production went very smooth. I mean, we had no case on the set. We had no case in, you know, among the cast and crew members. So it was very, you know, I was okay. We were okay.
I read that you lost 6 teeth because of the stress. I don't know. I've never heard of that before. So how do you lose teeth? Were you eating hard candy and chewing on it? Or what happened to your teeth?
I had the gum disease, I believe. I have the gum problem. So when I got stressed out, when I get stressful, you know, always had the problem with my gums. Like even before this shooting, like when I shot my last feature, The Fir Trees, I also had the same problem. And I was very
interesting.
I was very afraid of going to the dentist. I don't like that at all. That was the problem. Then I said, like, oh, let's not go there. It's going to be okay. Then it got okay. I mean, then it happened again during shooting of this, like a Squid Game. And then after finished the shooting and then went to the dentist, it was too late. I mean, she said, like, we have to pull out, like, 6 teeth.
Oh, that's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, when you move, what I've heard from film directors who move to TV, it's the speed of TV that is so, so different. You know, you just go, go, go. And I guess, I don't know, how you even prepared yourself to adjust to that?
I mean, speed, in terms of like a speed, I was okay with it because even when I was shooting the feature film, I shoot things fast, you know. But
fast, you're fast.
But the problem was the length, you know, the length of the whole period of like pre-production and production and even the writing. And everything was like a longer than the feature. I took like 8 months to write the whole 8 episodes, also like 6 months for pre-production and another 8 months for the production. Was much longer than, you know, doing the feature film. So that was the most challenging part for me. I mean, I'm not like a very, you know, the healthy person in real life. So, yeah, I was like ache here and there. And sometimes I feel like I'm never going to end, you know. Eight months of shooting was too much.
Yeah, I'm afraid just talking about it, we're going to start having problems with the teeth again. I'm feeling bad about bringing it up. Even
to make things worse, I wrote the whole thing by myself. I shot things by myself. So, it was like a lot of work.
It sounds like a crushing amount of work. And that flat Netflix fee, like no bonus, no. I can't believe they didn't give you a present. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, this is just my opinion. You know, Netflix has always said we're going to reinvent how everything is done. But, you know, in Hollywood, they would send you a car and maybe something very, you know, Steven Spielberg, who I know is a big fan of your work and complimented you. He gave on one of his movies, everybody got, you know, all the key people got, he gave them cars. He just gave them cars because he was thankful for their work. I feel like you know, that's the Hollywood way. I don't know about in the Korean film industry, but in Hollywood, if you have a huge hit, they send you a nice gift.
Yeah, I haven't got a nice gift yet.
Okay. I see them.
It might be on the way. It might be coming.
It should be on the way. Well, I hope your agents for this, since you're doing the sequel, I hope they took care of it on that end.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Coming up after the break, Wang Dong-hyuk initially figured there was about a 2% chance he'd make a Squid Game sequel. Then the odds increased. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes. Join Jacqueline Coley as she hosts a brand new podcast, Scene on the Screen. Meet the innovative people at NBC Universal as they share their journeys, inspirations, and the movies that define them. Each episode is an intimate and fun conversation about the impact of film. Scene on the Screen is available now wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. Wang Dong-hyuk had built a career making feature films in Korea when he approached Netflix with the idea for Squid Game. The 9-episode series became a worldwide phenomenon, inspiring Halloween costumes, SNL parodies, and a diehard fan base.
You are allowed to move forward when it shouts out green light. Stop when it shouts red light. If your movement is detected afterward, you will be eliminated.
Red light, green light. The thing we did as kids on the playground?
Let me repeat the rules.
I think that's what you said.
That's a clip from the dubbed version of Squid Game, but director Hwang much prefers audiences outside Korea to watch the series with subtitles to enjoy his actors' performances fully. Those performances have already broken barriers in the awards race, with lead stars Lee Jung-ja and Jung Ho-yeon winning SAG Awards, a first for a non-English-speaking series. Wang has announced plans for another feature film, KO Club, or Killing Old People Club. Sounds fun, but first, Squid Game will live on. Were you tempted to not do a sequel? Are you like, oh my God, 8 months, this thing's killing me?
It was not an easy decision to do season two. I mean, it's not officially announced yet. It's not officially, done
okay,
yet.
Okay, we'll pretend it's not. Okay, go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, never thought like I was going to make season two. Maybe like a 1 or 2% of chance. So, but if this the season one was not this successful, I wouldn't do season two. Never. This big success made me, forced me to do season two right now.
I mean, I wondered if you might thought maybe I shouldn't and maybe I should just leave it. And, because it does force you. But sometimes I feel like it's a trap. You know, I don't want to make you worry. And then Netflix will have me killed if you don't do it. But
yeah, it's a trap. I agree. It's a trap. Maybe I got tripped.
But there's so much.
To be honest, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's tons of money. That compared to the season one. So
okay, so your agents did take care of you.
Yeah, this is my bonus. This is a gift from Netflix. Maybe it's not a gift, but it's like
not a gift.
It's a price for my labor, but to be honest, it's just if I don't do it,
you earned it.
I don't know. Maybe it's the biggest mistake in my life doing season two, but. I'll do my best.
Well, what were you thinking? You said, if I don't do it, what was the rest of that sentence? Then what, if you didn't do it?
Then I wouldn't make money. There were tons of money.
Okay. Reasonable. Very reasonable. So was there a moment that where you, before it really went into the world, where you had this belief that, I have a feeling this could be really big, or were you just shocked by it?
I was very confident about how people like this series. I was kind of confident, I was convinced that this is a interesting story, entertaining story. But I didn't expect everyone like it all over the globe. Also, the 5-year-old kid to the 80-year-old people, old man. Yeah. Everyone, I never expected everyone loved this show.
I think Ted Sarandos said that the Squid Game universe has just begun. Universe, he said, that sounds like a lot. It sounds like more than a second season. A universe.
Yeah, and I know they're working on something. I wouldn't tell you.
Oh my goodness,
they're working on something. Secret. I believe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't have. The merchandise opportunity was huge for this, and they're not really built for that at this point. A Disney or something would I don't know that they would do, they might do something like this, but Disney or Warner's, they would have the capability to flood the market with every kind of Squid Game, and things still were out there, but it's not the same, as if they had done it, and of course you would be a profit participant. Eventually, not right away, maybe. I guarantee you, Steven Spielberg is a profit participant.
Not from the first contract.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think Netflix were ready for that kind of business, merchandise. Yeah, I know. Yes. I know if it was Disney, they would have built the theme park.
Right, that's right. I read that one of the cast members, the cast wants a theme park. So that would have been Disney.
I mean,
it would be very dark.
Netflix, everybody told telling now Netflix needed another window of revenue rather than more than the subscribers. Mm-hmm. So I believe they're working on it. I believe.
Sure, yeah. They do need to do more,
they might have lost the momentum about the chance for the Squid Game merchandising, But I mean, they have to be, as Ted said, like they, you know, the universe of Squid Game is coming, so they might have another chance.
Well, so you've done some, you know, you've done films that are about on serious themes, and this, I'm not saying this is not, because it is on serious themes as well. Mm-hmm. But do you worry that you'll be in Squid Game universe for a really, really long time when there might be other things that you want to do, or do you feel like you could hand it to someone else, or no way?
I mean, I'm not sure, like 100%, but I believe after I finish, I'm thinking after I finish second season, I'll move to the feature film again, back to feature film. To be honest, I'm I have to say I'm sick of making TV show, like it's too much work. Yeah, I have another project in my hand right now. Which I used to work on after I finished the season one, which is called like a KO Club, which is a feature film. So after I finish season two, I'm 100% sure I'm going to make that feature film.
Do you think you could give it to somebody else and say, I'll be the producer?
Game?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why not? Why not? If there is like, someone who is very talented, who's really willing to do this, has a, passion about Squid Game, maybe, why not? You know, if she has a great idea about new season, why not? Yeah.
Because if you're going to stop after two, I have a feeling this could come up.
Even though I stop, maybe Netflix never wants to stop, so it might just keep going.
If you come anywhere near the success of the first round, I mean, I guess that's something you would worry about too, is how much success is good enough for the second one? Like if it's less successful but still very successful, is that good enough, or do you think about these things, or is it just me thinking too much?
Yeah, I kind of hard thinking about this season two. I mean, what can I say? I mean,
I feel like I'm stressing you out. Sorry.
Yeah, topping the success of season one might be impossible, but it might be possible. Who knows? I mean, I'm trying to not worry about the success of season two. I'm just worried about how good I can make, season two.
Yes. I apologize for making you talk about this thing. I'm sorry. You'll never want to come on our show again.
I don't want to let people down. I don't want to let the fans down. So I'll do my best. But I don't want to let myself down either. So that's the priority. I have to like what I make.
Yes, that would seem to be the most important thing. Although the money will be good this time, right? It'll be good.
I'll let myself down, I'll still, be counting my money.
Yes, you'll be landing on a very
in a bad
soft
mood.
Pillow.
I'll be counting my money in a bad mood.
Hwang Dong-hyuk is the creator, director, writer, and executive producer of Squid Game. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was a good time too.
And that's the business. Melissa Yeager-Miller produced and edited today's program with help this week from Paul Smith, who mixed the show. You can stream The Business as well as other great KCRW podcasts on the KCRW app. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.